How many know God wants to prosper you? Somebody say, God wants to prosper me. Amen. Prosperity is not a cuss word. It's a God word. Amen. So somebody just say, I'm going to prosper all the days of my life. Not just financially, but, you know, prosperity is a word that includes, you know, peace in your life. Amen. What's it worth if you're financially well off, but there's just constant strife and or sickness or whatever going on? Amen. Somebody just say, I am a prosperous person in God. Amen. And a couple great prosperity verses, I'm just going to read them off to you. Deuteronomy 8:6-10. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. Somebody say, a good land. A land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive oil and honey. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity. Somebody say, without scarcity. In which you will lack nothing. Amen. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Amen. Psalm 37, 21 and 22 says this, the wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. Amen. In 2 Chronicles 8, 1 and 2 says this, it came to pass at the end of 20 years when Solomon had built the house of the Lord and his own house, that the cities which Hiram had given to Solomon, Solomon built them, and he settled the children of Israel there. I love this verse because it talks about God's house and my house. Amen? Those are, you know, if on my vision list, you know, things we're believing God for, those are two of the top things. God's house be built, my house be built. Praise the Lord. Amen? And then Malachi 3:10 says this, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Somebody say glory to God. These are Bible verses we're reading here. Amen. Proverbs 22:4 says this, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Praise God. I shared, you know, last week, that's one great reason to be tithing is because without God, the world is just kind of a scary place. Amen. In the world's economy, man, that's not a good place to build, is it? In this world's economy. But when we tithe, we're getting ourselves out of the world's economy and putting ourselves in God's economy, where there is no lack, there is no scarcity, no debts, and these kind of things. Amen? Praise the Lord. Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So if God sent Jesus and sacrificed him, the greatest gift of all, right, then there's no greater gift than that, is there? So to me, that tells me if he provided Jesus for me, what's a truck? What's a house, right? What's a church building? Amen? What's nice clothes? It's easy to believe God for all this other stuff when we see how much, you know, everything that Jesus did on our behalf. He will also freely give us all things. Somebody say things. God understands that we need things. Amen. And he's a loving father that wants to just bless you with things you may not even know you want. God will just overtake you with some blessing and he'll be like, yeah, but you needed that. Lord, why did you bless me? Well, you just needed it. I just love you so much. I just wanted to pour out that blessing on your life like a good father. Amen? Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says this, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, Yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich. Somebody say, I'm rich. Amen? Now, Jesus wasn't, you know, financially poor on this earth, but compared to what he gave up, right? And in those hours where he was crucified, he lost everything, including the soul. He died spiritually in the realm of the soul, financially, physically, in every way a man could die. He lost it all at that point. Only, praise God, to rise again and get it all back. Many, many, many. Lord of all, King of kings, right? Amen? So he became poor. Somebody say this. He became poor so I could be made rich. Praise God. Amen. And a lot of Christians would say, well, you ought not be rich. Money will ruin you. Well, there's a proverb that says money ruins the fool. So we find out what a fool is and don't be that. Amen. And if you're tithing, man, if people aren't tithing, they got good reason to be afraid. Because money is your God. If we're tithing, then a tithe of $10 is a buck, right? A tithe of $100 is $10. Math class here, right? A tithe of $1,000 is $100. A tithe of $10,000 is $1,000. What if $1,000,000, $100,000 tithe, $1,000,000,000? Well, that's I'm getting up higher and higher, right? But the point is God, if you're tithing on your 100, God can trust you with 1,000. If you're tithing on your 1,000, God can trust you with 25,000. If you're tithing on your 25,000, God can trust you with 500,000. Come on. Amen. Somebody to say, I tithe. I give. Praise the Lord. Genesis 12, 1 through 3 says this. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. That's the purpose of prosperity, church, to be a blessing. I've heard Pastor George in Eagle Mountain, they have a saying, my motivation for accumulation is distribution. Amen. Glory to God, right? I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Somebody say glory to God. And finally, Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen. So Jesus bore the curse on himself. That includes poverty and lack and shortage, so that we might receive that blessing of Abraham to be a blessing. Somebody say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. Amen. And when we're sowing into God's work, you're being a blessing. Man, the sowing comes in here. It doesn't all just stay here. There's things that we do, you know, with the building space and these kind of things. But a lot of it goes back out into other ministries and so on. So your seed really is sown like two or three times. So that's a lot of harvest we got coming. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you. Just pray this after me. Say, Father, I thank you for your blessing that is on my life. As I sow, I expect a harvest. I receive the blessing of God. I call it in from the north, south, east, and west. Harvesting angels, go. Draw in my harvest. I receive it now. We call in a church building. We say church property, church building, come. In the name and by the blood of Jesus. And the right people to fill it up. People being saved. People being delivered. People being healed. People being encouraged in their faith, finding their place in God's family. We thank you for it in advance, Father, in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you for your faithfulness and your giving, and the Lord is good. Amen. Well, we have a kids class today, kids church. Thank you. Again, thank you, Lindsay and Lacey and Luke, for the worship this morning. Praise God. And for being sensitive to the Lord and sharing what he asked you to share. That's so great. Faith without borders. Somebody say, I have faith without borders. Praise God. We believe God no matter what. I was listening to Pastor Shelley's message on my birthday the other day. I just played it on while I was listening. I was just kind of overwhelmed with the day. And hey, I love you kids. Have a blessed class. Y'all look so nice. But she said something that really jumped off the CD at me, or off the internet, whatever. I think I had it on my phone, yeah. So it wasn't a CD. But she said in the middle of the message, and it just was like a word for my life. She said, whatever you're believing God for, I'm just paraphrasing, but she said, it just keep pressing. Just keep pressing. Just keep at it, and you will see the breakthrough. Amen? And that just so encouraged me. It's like, you know what? No matter what God has on your heart to be believing him for, you may or may not be feeling like you're seeing it right now, but just don't sway to the right or to the left and stick with it. Stick with the word of God. Stick with Jesus, and you will see the breakthrough. Amen? That's really the difference between big kid Christians and baby Christians, right? Baby Christians quit. Big kid Christians, we know how to put our own pants on, right? I remember even back when I was a kid, you know, there was a certain point where my mom was feeding me something. Well, actually, I was told this. It was long ago. But she was feeding me, and I didn't want it. I was fighting her, and my grandfather was there, Grandpa Livengood. And he says, Bev, he wants to feed himself. Oh, but he's too little. Just give him the spoon. I just started going for it. That's what they told me. Probably got some in my eye and up here. But amen, right? Somebody say, I feed myself. I encourage myself in God's word. Amen. And that's a great reason, even this week, to just plug into Victory Network and watch some of this this convention this week. Because, man, there's a lot of things out there that the devil is just trying to do pile-on techniques of just overwhelming people with worry and discouragement and fear and strife. So what do? We need to get ourselves immersed in God's word, right? Not in all the trash the devil is pushing on the world. Amen? And that's a great way to do it. Just find some time and space this week to turn it online on your phone. You're driving around. I'm going to be working this week, and I'll have it playing in my ear. I might be talking to somebody about their ant problem, but I'll have my earpiece in, and it'll be Brother Copeland or Brother Keith or somebody encouraging me in the word. Amen? Even as early as tonight, I think at 4 o'clock, they're doing a live presentation of, what's the show called? Flashpoint, thank you. Yeah, so they're going to be doing that live. And man, it's good to be plugged into godly news sources. Amen? So just a great way to just be encouraged. But I wanted to start today with a video clip, if I can remember my own password. There we go. Because we are continuing on this message entitled God's Healing Flow. Somebody say, I'm in the flow. I am in the flow. And I love hearing the testimonies of God's hand at work, your ligaments knitting themselves together. I mean, that's marvelous. Amen? And these are healing testimonies, right? And so that's what we're here to preach on right now. I just felt stirred, kind of reignited to press in to about, you know, 2 years ago, we spent like the first Sunday of every month having a healing service. And that was the year before COVID came. And nobody in our church got COVID. Amen? Praise the Lord, yes. And I just felt kind of stirred again to say, okay, church, we're having an in-service beginning last Sunday, a healing in-service. We're going to keep the walls built strong. Not just, you know, the greatest miracle really would be that we don't need a miracle. Amen? But praise God, we're going to keep the walls built up for faith, for miracles, for God's healing. And you'll also be anointed to pray for others to be healed. Amen? That's what it's all about. But I wanted to start by showing you a video clip from a service from 1980. We're talking about, you know, Brother Copeland right now. And so I wanted to show you this. This is something that I found particularly moving, and I wanted to share it with you. So stand by.
Turn him loose, Satan. In that name.
I'm just a baby, I'm Christian, so I'm just learning, Jesus.
Well, what are you going to do?
I'm going to sign the Lord and stay here.
Huh?
I'm going to sign the Lord and stay here.
Okay, what are you going to do right now?
I'm going to pray for God and bring my soul and help him and body.
What else? What do you want? What do you want from God?
I want his hands on my heart and on my body. Do you want me?
I know what you really come up here for, wasn't it? To get healed.
Sir.
Well, don't be embarrassed about it. Is that what you're going to do, is get healed? Is that what you're going to do? Well, then do it in the name of Jesus. See, that's all God was looking for, was just a commitment. All he wanted you to do is just say yes. I got some news for you. You got it. I know when that power leaves me. You got it. And you walk off of here a new woman. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank God.
What a mighty God we serve. Amen? So I think it's cool to just kind of start these services with a highlight reel, right? Last week we showed a clip from Brother Roberts, amen, and those people that he was ministering to, and both of them said, you know, he was asking, why do you think God will heal you? And they were both like, well, I just know it. I just know he will, right? And in this one of the things that jumped out at me was that he said, just keep coming, just keep at it, just keep at it, right? Amen? And I believe, church, if we just keep at it, we're going to see God do amazing things, right? Amazing. That is just such a cool miracle. And I remember seeing that, you know, I don't know, a year ago or something, and just wanted to share that. Praise the Lord. What a mighty God we serve. Well, let's pray over today's message. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. We receive your healing power. Somebody just say, Lord, I receive your healing power in my body today. I receive it, and I will be a vector, a spreader of it, of your healing power in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. But you know, this world, you know, just people around us, they need encouragement right now. Amen? They're so infiltrated with the devil's plan to steal, kill, and destroy. They're just a positive word. Just watching something like this, right? Just sharing a positive word of faith can just turn somebody's whole course of their life around. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to read to you out of Mark chapter 10 as we continue in God's healing flow, right? And this is a great story. You know, there's so many stories of Jesus and the miracles that flowed through the ministry and that he's, of course, passed on to the church, right? Just because Jesus rose again and physically, in his physical form, left the planet doesn't mean healing left the planet, right? I've heard, you know, the argument, well, healing passed away with the apostles. Well, no, because it wasn't the apostles, it was the Holy Ghost working with and through the apostles, and the Holy Ghost did not pass away with the apostles, right? He's still here. What we need to do is keep our faith stirred up and engaged. Amen? Hey, Luke, you mind bumping the lights up a little bit here so folks can see their notes, including me? Thank you. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. But John chapter 10, I'm going to read verses 46 through 52. Praise God. Actually, no, it's Mark chapter 10. Excuse me. Matthew, Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Yeah, if you just kind of play around with that, but I was kind of looking for the center one, Luke, if we can find that. Yeah. You'll find it. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. And God's word says this. Now they came to Jericho. Thank you, Luke. As he went out of Jericho and his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus. So here's a guy who's already had the stigma, blind Bartimaeus, right? The son of Timaeus sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Man, make no mistake about it. The healing of God is God's mercy toward us. Amen? Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. There's one thing that I think of in regards to, you know, the mask mandates and all that kind of stuff. It's the devil just wanting to tell the church, shut up, okay? Shut your mouth, okay? Somebody say, I'm not shutting my mouth. I'm sharing the testimony of God's faithfulness on my life. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man. So here we go, blind man, right? Saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he arose and came to Jesus. I heard, I think it was Brother Copeland sharing about this garment was something that was like the priest gave to certain people to say, this person is licensed to beg. So if someone had this special garment on, it was saying it's okay to feel sorry for this person and to give to them because we have inspected them, and yes, they have issues, and you can give to them legally, right? But to this man, he wasn't content to stay in that place in life. And I'll tell you what, that's a big difference between people who receive miracles of God and people who do not. People who receive miracles of God are not content to have sympathy from others. I've had people tell me, well, I don't want to get healed because I'll lose my government assistance if I get healed. Somebody say, yikes, man. Right? If I prosper, I'll lose my food stamps. Somebody say, hello. Come out, cast that garment aside, man, and come to Jesus. Hallelujah, right? So Jesus, I love this. Jesus has a sense of humor, right? Who is he again? Blind Bartimaeus. And Jesus calls and says to him, what do you want me to do for you? Don't you love that? I'm blind, okay? Right? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Notice he didn't say, could you give me a couple bucks? I'm low on gas. Right? Could you give me some money? I need my weed. No. Now, if he receives his sight, then what will he be able to do, church? Go to work, right? Be a productive citizen in society. He threw aside the garment of sympathy and government permission to beg. And he got his miracle from God. Amen? Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Somebody say, your faith makes you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Glory to God. Somebody say, my faith is involved. So many people don't press in for miracles and mighty things of God because they think it's all up to God. It's all up to God. What difference does it make if I believe or not? It's up to God whether or not I get healed. This is not true, church. Amen? Somebody say, my faith is involved here. Right? I need to come to Jesus in faith. For whatever it is I'm believing him for. Amen? Just like this man. Now, we probably, when we meet him in heaven, we probably won't refer to him as blind Bartimaeus. Because why? Because he's not blind anymore. Glory to God forevermore. Amen? Well, we're going to be reading over the next several weeks segments from Pastor Keith Moore's, from morelife.org, God's Will to Heal. Amen. And we actually have copies out front. You can take one with you. But we're just gonna in these service notes, you'll get little snapshots of maybe 10, 11 at a time over the next several weeks, right? And here's what Brother Keith says. He says, you know, how do we know it's God's will to heal? Because God said so. Somebody say, God said so, right? It makes little difference what others say about healing. What did God say about it? Remember that God is no respecter of persons, Acts 10:34, and he never changes, Malachi 3:6. So what he said to them yesterday, he is saying to you today, God's word is speaking to me. These statements are taken directly from the Bible with little or no variation. The verbs and construction of these statements are prefaced by phrases like, if you walk in my commandments, if you believe, obey, etc. Amen. But what did God say? So the list that we have out front and so forth, or you can download them yourself at Brother Keith's website, is 101 things God said about healing. Because it's really important that the church, that believers get past the hurdle, if you want to call it, of if it's God's will. Well, what if it's not God's will for me to be healed? What if it's God's will somehow in his great, you know, power and wisdom that I get a disease? Well, let's find out what God's word says about this. Amen? Exodus 15:26 says this. God said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And that particular, there's a name of God in there. It's Rapha. Somebody say Rapha. He says right there, Exodus is right next door to Genesis. So practically from the beginning, right? He said, I'm your healer. He didn't say, I'm the one who makes you sick, right? He said, I am the Lord who heals you. Praise the Lord, right? Amen. I remember Billy Burke speaking. We might play one of his clips soon, too. Another great healing minister. And he said, you should never say, my cancer, my diabetes, my high blood pressure. He said, you should say it this way. I'm fighting cancer. I'm fighting high blood pressure. I'm fighting diabetes. Don't ever claim it as your own. And he talked about just changing some of the phraseology, how we say things, right? And he used the example of how we order coffee. He said, you know, just a few years ago, I'd walk in and say, I'd like a medium coffee. Nowadays, I have to say, I'd like a grande, or a tall, or a venti. He said, in the same way, we just need to change how we word things in our lives. Don't say, well, me and my cancer. No, no, I'm fighting cancer in the name of Jesus. I'm resisting it in Jesus' name. Well, if you think God might have put that on you, you won't resist it. I've heard people say things like, I just need to embrace it. It's my cross. That is a lie from the devil, man. A lie designed to steal, kill, and destroy people's lives. And that's not what Jesus came to do. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Sickness, let me just say it straight, sickness is a work of the devil, not of Jesus. Amen? How can God give me something he doesn't have? Does God have cancer? Does God have high blood pressure? He can't give me something he ain't got. Amen, right? Number two says this, your days shall be one, now listen to this, 120 years. Genesis 6:3. Now in Genesis 6, that actually was bad news. Because they were living hundreds of years before the flood. And then you can watch, as you read the Bible, you can watch, you know, they went from 600 years. I think Noah was like 500, 600 years old when he built the ark, right? Methuselah lived for like 900 and some years. Adam and Eve lived over 900, around 900 and something years. This is not fictitious. Before the flood, there was an envelope around this planet. When the flood happened, it wasn't a rainstorm, right? We understand in the Northwest, it could easily rain 40 days and nights. It doesn't take faith for natives to believe that around here, right? But something happened to the atmosphere above this planet, and something happened to the depths below this planet that literally flooded the entire planet. And people's lifespans began to decrease, and God decreed it right here. Man's days will be 120 years. Well, for us, that's good news from this side, right? Amen. Glory to God. So if you're, you know, in your 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, you can claim it for yourself. Amen. I can't think of one person that I know of that's made it to 120 that I can think of right now. But I've heard more and more and more people, 101, 102, 104. Amen. It's, somebody say it's there to claim. It's there. And I'm talking about good health through those years. Amen. Praise God. I think of Moses. It says at the end of his life on the earth that, you know, he might have been 120, right in that area. And he climbed a mountain. At 100 and whatever he was, climbed a mountain and he could see the promised land. It wasn't a blur to him, right? And he had the strength and vigor to do it. But God took him right there, amen? Somebody say, 120 years is mine if I want it. Now, if you'd rather pass on and, you know, go on home to be with Jesus, that's between you and Jesus. But there's the benchmark we can all aim for and believe God for. What does that tell me right now in the United States in 2021? It tells me, don't think my life is over at retirement. Or whatever the world tries to put on us. It tells me, you know, Steve, you probably should be a little more watchful over how you eat, over exercise, over maintaining your health, because you have a road that can just keep going and going and going if you want to. I don't know about you, but I want to. Amen? There's a rapture coming, yes. I'll bet the rapture will probably come well before I would ever reach 120. But let's believe God for long life. Amen? Number three says this, you shall be buried in a good old age. Genesis 15:15. Hallelujah. There's people that I know of that passed away young. And come to find out later, one particular I'm thinking of, that was telling people where they wanted their remains to be. And they're like not even 40, barely 40. Somebody say, shut yourself up. Don't be talking about death like it's at the door. And another thing is, you don't got to be sick to go home to be with God. A lot of people will argue, well, how do I get to heaven if I don't get a disease? Well, easy, right? You go to sleep and you wake up in heaven. When it's time, when you and Jesus decide, don't let the devil tell you when it's time. Don't let a disease tell you when it's time. You tell the devil and you tell your body. You know what? We got more to do on this planet. Hallelujah, right? A good old age. Number four says this, you shall come to your grave in a full age like a shock of corn cometh in his season. Job 5:26. So, you know, there is a season when it's time to graduate to glory. Amen? But as far as, you know, God decides the day I go, this is tradition, right? It might be 17 Big Macs deciding when I go. Amen? I mean, we got to be watchful of these things, right? Glory to God. Somebody to say, Lord, I'm gonna run this race to win. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord forevermore. A full age. Paul even said this in some of his writings. He was like, you know what? I'm kind of betwixt the two. I want to go home to be with God, but yet I want to stay here with you. Amen. Long life. There's things we can do to extend our life on this planet. One of those things is obey God, right? Obey God, and we will have a long, blessed life on this planet. Amen? Number five, we're still on. When I see the blood, Exodus 12:13, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. Exodus 12:13, when I see the blood, somebody say the blood. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The plague passes over me. I'm talking whatever it is, COVID, Delta variants, whatever they're talking about, diseases, flus. That's a plague. Amen? And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is separate from the world even while we're in it. Amen? So what do? We apply the blood of Jesus over our life by prayer, by our confession, by practicing good health, of course. Amen? But the blood, somebody say the blood. The blood keeps the plague off me. See, but if I'm thinking the plague might be God's judgment on me, on my family, or on the nation, or whatever, and I'm in the nation, so I'm just going to have the judgment on me too. No, somebody say no. No. Look at the story of Egypt, right? when the children of Israel lived in a place called Goshen. And all those plagues came. One particular I can think of is that they had darkness, like for days and days. But the scripture says, but there was light in Goshen. Somebody say, I live in Goshen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's a good witnessing tool right there, isn't it? Are you that afraid of COVID? Well, you ought to get born again then. Are you that afraid of dying? Well, Jesus talked about a second death that you should really be concerned about. All this talk about, you know, preparing for death and all these kind of things and taking care of your family and all this kind of stuff. But you know what? Are you ready to go? Had a guy the other day talk to me. Every now and then he reminds me I'm doing his funeral. He's like, now remember, Steve, you're doing my, he's in his 80s, I think now. Sweet guy. He's been a part of my life for a lot of years. But the other day he told me again, you know, you're going to do it. I mean, kind of jokingly, but yet you're doing it, right? And I just instantly said, well, you know, the real important thing is what happens after your funeral, that we need to make sure we got that down. Somebody say glory to God, right? Amen. But see, if we're wallowing around in fear and torment and sickness and disease ourselves, then we got nothing to share with the world. Nothing. But the point is, you got nothing in common. If you're born again, you got nothing in common with the world spiritually, right? You're different. You're a different species. You have God's DNA. You're reborn. And so we need to act like we are reborn, don't we, church? I'm preaching to me too. I need to talk like I'm different. I need to live like I'm different. If I'm out boozing with everybody else, right, chasing women, whatever else the world is doing, and saying, ah, you know, the grace of God. I'm going to answer to Jesus for everything I do, right? Amen. So we need somebody say, snap out of it, right? Snap out of it. Snap to it, church. Amen. Here we go. Number 6, I will take sickness away from the midst of you, and the number of your days I will fulfill. Exodus 23, 25, and 26. So we see it's God's will that sickness be taken away, not added to. Well, can't God use that sickness to help me draw closer to him? Well, he'll use anything he has to use, but it doesn't mean he put it on me. Amen? No, not at all, not even close. His plan is to take it away from me. Jesus was moved with compassion to heal the sick. And I love Pastor Terry was teaching this past week, and she talked about Jesus preach, teach, heal. So she said a lot of times people weren't just coming to get healed, but they were coming to hear him teach. So the teaching portion is really important. We see these miracles that we show on these videos. These people were probably in those meetings for hours, right? Or even days, some of them. And in the word themselves, healing is an act of God's mercy, but we need to be open to his teaching, amen? And his perspective on things. Somebody say, God takes sickness away from me. Hallelujah. So see, church, this church is not going to be a place where folks get sympathy for their sickness. It will be a place where they can be healed of the sickness and be delivered from the sickness and get taught about what the Word of God says about that thing. Why? So they can be rescued from it. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, there's churches around the area that have cemeteries on their property. And no judgment on them, but, you know, church ought not be a place where you go to die. Some people, the only time they've ever been to church is when they got married and when they got buried. Yikes, man. Right? Amen? Church ought to be a place people run to get healed, to get hope, to get taught to get ministered to get encouraged. And here's another thing, church, not just to get for what I need, but to have a place to give, have a place to be an encourager, have a place to be in a Bible study or be in a men's group or be in a children's class, or you know what I'm saying? Sow some tithes and offerings to get the gospel preached around the world. Amen? And then number 7, I will not put any of the diseases you are afraid of on you, but I will take all sickness. How much? Somebody say all. All sickness away from you. Deuteronomy 7:15. Now, a lot of folks, they'll experience that when they get to heaven, right? But somebody say, I don't have to wait till I get to heaven. This is for now. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. That means, somebody say, that means today. Because when I get to heaven, we're not going to need the healing power of God, because we're going to be in an environment forever where there everyone is well, right? So the price was paid for today. Amen? And I love that part where it says, I will not put on any of the diseases which you are afraid of. So you get, listen, we got no business being afraid of COVID or afraid of this or afraid of that, because we've been redeemed out of it. Amen. We need to be people that are encouraging others to plug into Jesus and not plug into the news and plug into the rhetoric and the narrative. There is a narrative that's coming out of the world. I called a couple of our representatives this past week, and I just said, you know, thank you for your service. One of them, I don't even know if it was her, but a couple of them answered the phone. I think it was their assistant, but one of them, I don't know, might have been her. But I just went into, you know, thank you for your service. And, you know, this COVID thing, the Delta variant. And I said, a lot of people have questions about these vaccinations and masking and all that stuff. I said, I just want to encourage you to give people a choice. We are Americans. We're into recommendations, not requirements. And a lot of these things that are coming out are just creating more strife and more things to disagree about. And this one, the voice on the other end was, So I hope the FBI doesn't come knocking on my door to do some research on me, you know? But, you know, your voice can be heard in this nation, right? Amen. We're not buying into the world's narrative, and there's a way to share that with our leaders and things in a spirit of grace without just blasting them. Somebody say, my voice counts. And in the spirit realm, your voice counts. You say, you know what, sickness? I do not receive you. You have no part in me. You might be trying to. I might be experiencing symptoms. I might have gotten a medical report. But I reject the report in the name of Jesus. And I accept the report of the Lord that says, somebody say, that says, I am healed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Here we go. Number 8, got a couple more. It will be well with you, and your days shall be multiplied and prolonged as days of heaven upon the earth. Deuteronomy 11:9-21. Now that was Deuteronomy. That was before the death and resurrection of Jesus. So I think we can say that that's multiplied by many, many times that God promises. You can have that if you believe me for it. Amen. Somebody say heaven on earth. How's your marriage? Oh, it's heaven on earth. Right? How you doing financially? Oh, man, heaven on earth. How's your health doing? Have you been vaccinated? Man, I'm having heaven on earth. Hallelujah, right? Want some? And you can say, want some? Let me introduce you to him. His name is Jesus. Glory to God. Number 9 says, I turned the curse into a blessing for you, unto you, because I loved you. Deuteronomy 23:5 and Nehemiah 13:2. So Jesus turned the curse into a blessing. Amen? Well, you see there, Pastor Steve, he can take cancer and make cancer a blessing. That's not what he's saying. He changed it. He can turn that report of death into healing and health. And life prolonged. Amen. Why? Because somebody say, because he loves me. Why does he heal me? Because I'm so good? Does he heal me because I wasn't so bad? No. Does he heal me because in his divine, omniscient, he just decided of his own, well, he loves me. Somebody say, he loves me. That's why he heals me. Number 10, I have redeemed you from every sickness. Somebody say, every sickness and every plague. Deuteronomy 28:61 and Galatians 3:13. So no matter how many different variations of whatever sickness the devil invents, we're already redeemed from every one of them. Every one of them. Amen? Praise the Lord forevermore. And that's not saying like with present day that, then Pastor Steve's saying don't get vaccinated. I'm not saying that. I'm saying be led by the Holy Ghost for your life. And if you do get a vaccination, take it in faith. In the name of Jesus, I receive this vaccination, and I'm not taking any side effects of it. And if you choose not to, that's your choice. I'm staying well. I receive the healing power of God in my life. I don't feel that that's for me. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. Let's all be well. Amen. And then verse 11 says this. As your days, so shall your strength be. Deuteronomy 33:25. The strength of God is rising up on the inside of us. You know, if Jesus, the Holy Ghost, is living on the inside of me, he can change whatever is trying to kill me and drive it out by the power of his name and his blood, right? Praise the Lord. Let's all stand up on our feet. We're going to close right now, and we're going to make a statement of faith. It's there in your notes, but if you don't have it, you can just read it after me. Hallelujah. Just say this after me. Say, Jesus Christ is Lord over me, spirit, soul, and body. Sickness, I resist you. In the name of Jesus, I enforce the will of God on you today. Leave my presence now. I believe, I receive my healing now. I am well now in Jesus' name. Now just begin to thank him for it. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you that you're our healer. We receive you, Jesus, as our healer. We thank you that it is your will for us to be well, to have heaven on earth, long, blessed lives. And we receive it by faith. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Now, before we say amen, is there anybody here today and you would like to be anointed for healing in some area of your life? You're going, having symptoms, or we just prayed the prayer and so forth, but you would like me to anoint you and lay hands on you? I just want to invite you up right now, if anybody here. Amen. Just stretch out your hands toward these folks, and we're just going to agree as we close. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just lift your hands and thank the Lord for his healing presence today in this place. Oh, we thank you for it. Look, can we sing that chorus, hallelujah, as we close?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.